From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. First, a quick legislative update. We've been advised by our friends on Capitol Hill that the congressionally passed H.R. 3076, the Postal Service Reform Act, was delivered to the White House on Monday, March 28th, which means that the president has 10 days minus Sunday to sign the legislation. So the clock is running, and we look forward to the signing sometime next week. In addition, on Thursday, March 31st, the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee of the United States Senate conducted its confirmation hearing on Board of Governors nominees Daniel Tanglerini and Derek Kahn. In addition to their opening statements, which reflects tremendous respect for the Postal Service, senators queried the two nominees about their views about the recent fleet contract to purchase delivery vehicles, with specific focus on electrification. In addition, Tanglerini and Kahn stated their desire to take a hard look at the change in delivery standards that were implemented last year, with attention to customer service, the universal service obligation, and postal performance. We would expect the committee to vote on the nominees within a few weeks, clearing the way for Senate confirmation. Now let's move on to the issues at hand. NAPS has just completed a highly successful legislative conference in our nation's capital, which we refer to as the Legislative Training Seminar. Over 400 members of NAPS participated in this three-day conference, which was packed with, of course, political training and legislative updates, culminating in visits to Capitol Hill to meet with members of the House and the Senate. Yes, we met person to person with members of Congress this year as the pandemic is, thank God, abating. Our conference was honored by presentations by Representatives Jerry Connolly of Virginia, James Comer of Kentucky, and Andrew Garbarino of New York, as well as Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland. We were also joined by Postal Service Board of Governor Ron Stroman. Today, to talk about the Legislative Training Seminar and other issues that may come up, is the newest member of the NAPS Executive Board, the Vice President who covers the area of Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, and Nebraska, my good friend Kelly McCartney. Welcome to NAPS Chat, Kelly.
Good morning, Bob. How are you today?
I am doing very well. Thank you for joining me. Now, Kelly, can you talk to us a little about your postal background, since you're the newest member of the executive board here?
Yes, I worked for the post office for 35 years. I started in 1981 as a clerk slash carrier. Came in, sorted mail, and then carried mail during the day and came back and did the dispatch. I went from being a clerk slash carrier to being a supervisor of customer services and that community and other communities, and then I became a postmaster in 2000.
Which was the toughest job you had for the Postal Service?
I think early on, I'd say the supervisor of customer services was probably the toughest job. I think the postmaster job was a great job until the last 15 years. But all in all, over all of the generations that I was around, 35 years, the supervisor's job really is the most difficult job in the post office.
Why did you join the National Association of Postal Supervisors at the very beginning when you became, a postal supervisor?
So I was interesting story. I was a supervisor in, I was actually a clerk in Newport, Rhode Island. And Rhode Island prided itself on being a 100% membership a NAPS association. And they were really, really great. I was only a 204B when they actually recruited me. They circumvented the rules a little bit and made me a member at large on their executive board way before I actually was a formal member of NAPS. And then, of course, you know, when I was eligible, I was, you know, they formalized all of that.
Put on your membership hat a second.
Yes.
Why should all EAS employees be members of NAPS?
Well, NAPS, because they have really all levels of EAS. They really take care of all of our EAS across the nation. Even when they were being told that they couldn't take care of all of EAS across the nation, they did take care of all of EAS and all of our other departments, you know, that nobody thought about, like our sales department and, you know, our technology departments and stuff like that. When they ran into trouble, they actually took those issues to headquarters, and headquarters actually met with them to discuss the issues and resolve the issues that those folks have. In my opinion, to be in a company like the United States Postal Service and not to be a member of the association actually is pretty detrimental to you, your growth, detrimental to your future. You learn a lot by being a NAPS member, especially if you attend the meetings. You actually, there's a lot of camaraderie. There's lifetime friendships that you make. And you actually learn a bit about your job and maybe, you know, the issues that you're facing, your peers are also facing, and they have maybe some alternate resolutions to some problems that you haven't figured out how you can resolve. And the only way that's going to happen is with your communication with other supervisors, other managers, and now postmasters.
Now, the networking is essential, whether it happens at the state level or the branch level or the national level. They're all the different levels of engagement and different levels of networking. What did you think was the most valuable?
I don't know that I would say that I think most valuable. It's really, really important to support your local branches because that's your first line of communication. And then coming to the national events is an education beyond anything you can get in the state that you're at, especially if you come to an event like the Legislative Training Seminar, which is why we're here right now. Being able to meet and converse with congressmen about our issues, things that we're plagued with, if you will, or situations that we need to have resolved. We actually need Congress's help because the United States Postal Service falls under the Constitution of the United States, and Congress is responsible for honoring the Constitution of the United States. And you're not going to get that really in your local areas. You know, coming here at headquarters, we've got Bob here, who's our legislative leader, and we've got other leadership here that have been around doing this for a really long time where you can actually talk to them about how to go about having these conversations with your local congressional people. So, yeah, I think your locals really, it's important to be involved with them because they can actually help you with all the local leadership. And then coming to headquarters helps you with the rest of the universe, which also plays into your job.
You just mentioned the Legislative Training Seminar. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in detail in a couple of moments. We have known each other, Kelly, for quite a number of years, and you've been extremely involved in legislative activities, no matter what organization you...
This is true.
Could you talk to me a little bit about the importance of legislative engagement at the local level and then at the national level?
Okay. So I ran legislative for another association fairly successfully, and it was when the Postal Service was trying to close post offices and combine offices. And our local relationship with our senators and our congressmen was essential to our success to keep that from happening across the nation. When you talk with your local folks and you can relate that the closing of this office or that office or the consolidation of these two offices may not be the best for the constituents of our local leadership, and it really isn't always the best decision with local leadership, it's really important that we're there to educate our congressional people right there in our backyards on how this is going to affect their constituents. You know, their constituents who aren't going to be able to get mail or have to travel 100 miles to get mail, or, you know, closing the facility. We've got folks that rely on that for package delivery and all kinds of other things from their local post office. So at that time, we actually did like town hall meetings with our legislative, you know, representatives. We set up a meeting in a local area and then invite the congressional folks to come to that meeting to talk about the specific issues and what was happening in our particular district. That is completely invaluable. It's totally invaluable. When you build a relationship like that and they come and they can see how many of us are really on board about this and can educate them and to help them, them when they're getting telephone calls about, oh no, my office is closing, what can I do? And a lot of times they didn't know what they could do. They had no idea. So we helped educate them about what they could do as the congressional folks in order to help their constituents in their issues that involve the Postal Service, whatever those issues happen to be. Obviously, coming here to headquarters is really, really great because we organize events here and we're able to meet with folks. And, you know, that actually gives another element, because when they're here voting on things, they remember that we were here. But when we're at home, it's a whole different venue. They live in our neighborhood. You know, they live in our communities. So it's really important that they know how things are going to impact the people that they live next door to. And that relationship is really, really important. And there's a lot of things you can do to develop that relationship in your local states.
Let's talk about Kansas, and let's talk about Kelly McCartney and the relationships she's developed over the years with senators and members of the House of Representatives. Tell us about those relationships.
Okay. So in our state, we actually had a lot of difficulty getting our senators and congressmen on board with understanding the significance of the Postal Service to their constituents. They were really resistant. They had some misconceptions about us, you know, with postal reform. They had some misconceptions that it was going to cost, the government all this money. And, you know, they had some issues that needed to be resolved and just couldn't really get to convince them. One of the things that I did with Senator Moran's office was I got on telephone blog that he did, and a number of us would get on there, and we were allowed to discuss anything that we wanted to on the blog. I mean, he had an agenda, but then he put it out for us to ask anything. So I actually joined that. It's a very interesting system. You know, they call you, the office calls you, and then you get on a teleconference and then you hear all these other people. And there's a lot of people there. You know, we had the agricultural people on there and folks from the state were on there, you know, all just talking about different things. He would tell us what his agenda was, and then we would tell him what was important to us. And it took a little while for me to make him recognize how significant this postal issue was, because it was sort of on the back burner way back when. And I'm talking like way back when I first got to the middle of the country, which was, you know, 15 years ago. So anyway, but I just kept at it. And I actually attended their state Republican convention so I could meet with the senators and the congressional people there and have a one-on-one conversation with them about these postal issues. And we, at some point in time, I finally was able to make them recognize exactly all the people that were going to be impacted by his area if one of these things was going to pass. So once that happened, he was such an advocate, offered to help with the other junior congressional people if they really didn't understand something that was, like, for example, in postal reform. He offered to help them be educated. And that relationship really went such a long way, and I'm very, very proud of it, and so excited that he had voted for the bill. And I actually got to meet him while I was here at LTS. He left the meeting and came to see me, and I was very excited to see him because it's been such a long haul on this particular issue of postal reform.
I want to focus on, you know, on Senator Moran, who has developed into a very, very strong supporter of the Postal Service, in large part due to your hard work back in Kansas in educating Senator Moran, I should say working with Senator Moran on postal issues, and to make him more comfortable with the legislation and how it translates to benefit the members of the state of Kansas. I want to come back to something you just mentioned, that you went to the Republican convention where you worked with Senator Moran. People suspect that all postal employees are Democrats.
Yes.
And that's not accurate, is that?
It's not accurate. However, I was a Democrat who attended the Republican convention.
Hey, they didn't check cards at the door.
That's correct. Left the cards at the door.
And they didn't ask you.
And they didn't ask. Exactly. I was there about our issue. It's very important to have that face-to-face. And sometimes you can't meet with them. Sometimes if they know that you're there about a particular issue and not really on board, they don't want to see you again. So absolutely, I say that you but however you have to meet them, a coffee break that they run in their states. One of the senators in Missouri did that. I was a postmaster in Missouri, so I actually knew the congressional people in Missouri. And yes, whatever it is that you have to do, you attend those events so you can have that face-to-face contact.
Let's talk a little about the legislative training seminar, the National Association of Postal Supervisors annual legislative conference here in Washington, D.C. How many of these types of events have you occurred over your career?
Well, for about 20 years, I attended the event for two associations every year for about 20 years. And then prior to that, it was probably over 10 years. It was whether or not I could get time off, if I could afford to come or whatever. So close, probably a little close to 30 years at this point in time.
What is special about the legislative training seminar that's put on by the National Association of Postal Supervisors?
I think how it's not like anything that you would ever attend otherwise is the level of education you get about how government works. I really think that it's important for everyone across the country to really understand how government works. And while you can do some local things with your local representatives, when you come out here and you actually see them in action and you see all the other groups that are here also here cheering for whatever issue they're here for, the Agriculture Department, the USDA, the military, and the military people that are here trying to get certain bills passed because of issues that they have or some something that they're trying to promote. You can't get that education in your particular state. The exposure here to that level of the universe, if you will, and how our country works and how they vote and how to have those conversations with your legislative folks, your congressional folks, you really get an education here. And the great thing about coming here is the kind of grooming that you get. You get the education from our legislative lawyer here, Bob. You get education from our national vice president, executive vice president, who's been doing this for a long time and works closely with Bob. You get education from the folks that have actually been around doing this, like myself, who've been doing this for a really long time, who can actually walk you through the process, take you to the offices. You can take a hand in like presenting the bills that we want them to support, and then you've got all that support sitting there right with you so that you can be groomed right into the next level of actually doing this, planning it, organizing it, making appointments, and then coming here. And then it takes away all of that shyness and that fear factor that you don't deserve to be able to have that kind of communication. I really think that coming here, you recognize that you are supposed to be having this conversation with your legislative representatives.
Approaching 2022, we didn't know really what would happen this year because of the pandemic, whether Congress would be open for business, whether or not there would be any requirements for going into the office buildings, to what degree we were able to communicate face-to-face with members of Congress, and then even within our conference atmosphere itself, whether or not members of Congress would actually come and address us. What are your takeaways from this year's legislative training seminar?
Well, actually, I got quite a few takeaways. This year, which was really great, I love that we were very adaptable to the current environment. So it was just like all of us having to adapt to wearing masks, not wearing masks, or getting booster shots, not getting booster shots. Our NAPS team actually set up a couple of things. One, they streamlined our information book into a spiral-bound book, which is really great because we don't have any loose papers, we don't have binders, and in that book has everything that we need for our entire time that we're here on the Hill. So that was really, really, really fabulous. And they, in my opinion, they thought of everything in that book. And then we set up a self-registration where you came up and you put your name in a thing and it printed out your tickets, your name badge, your agenda for our meetings, and everything was all done in like minutes. You just go up there, hit the button, it printed out all your stuff. You put it in your little badge. You picked up your spiral book, and you were ready to go. You're done. You were ready to go. So that was actually really, really, really great. And I love to see it whenever we improve our processes to show everybody that we are moving along with the whole rest of the nation with technology and everything else. The other thing that was set up was our Zoom room with computers for those folks who couldn't get in-person appointments with their congressional representatives. They were able to do a Zoom meeting with them. And that actually was fabulous. I mean, that's a total adaptation. Of course, Congress had to adapt to that themselves. So the fact that both sides, their side of the house and our side of the house actually adapted to this, let's have a Zoom meeting and we'll get our issues presented, and they get to see who the members of NAPS are that are in there, you know, in their particular constituent area, and we get to see who the aide or the congressman is in person, and that makes that an invaluable communication. So if you can't be there in person, you may as well be there on a Zoom, and they had a Zoom room set up for any states that couldn't meet with their individuals, their respective representatives individually. So I appreciated all of that. I'm a little bit computer literate for an old timer. So I actually appreciated that I didn't have to carry papers around. I wasn't really sure how I felt about that in order to do give my feedback about each of my meetings. I just went online on my phone. I did it in the cafeteria at Longworth Hall. I went on my phone and I put all the information about my meetings with my respective congressional people right then and there and submitted it. Fabulous way. I can go back and refer to it if I want to. They get it here at headquarters. We don't have to carry around a lot of paper. Nobody has to be around to like get all the paper. Then they have to organize all the paper. Then they have to scan all the paper. Now they have it that goes into, you know, their particular website, and they can organize it as they wish. So I think all those advancements really signify how far we've come along and how we're willing to adapt to whatever we need to do in order to continue our legislative influence with our congressional representatives.
How did the in-person meetings with members of Congress and their staff members go? I mean, the ones that were attended.
Okay, so that was actually great. Our particular state, we have six individuals that we see, and I was able to meet with five. And we had three scheduled appointments, and then the others, I did an impromptu visit, and they visited with me, so that was fantastic. So the senators and the congressional people that voted yes on our bill, that was actually a very, very exciting meeting for me because I've been coming up here for, I don't know, 10 years, 11 years, fighting for this particular legislation of postal reform. And so it was very, very exciting to, and I actually got to see Senator Moran in person, and I was very excited to see him. And so he was very excited that I was excited to see him because we finally passed the bill. The other senator I did not get to meet in person, but I got to meet with the aide, and she was very excited that had passed, that the legislation had passed as well. And so, of course, you know, I relayed our grateful wishes to him. I did have a meeting with a congressman who actually voted against the bill, and fortunately the aide was 100% prepared for my questions as to why, obviously, and she was very, very responsive and very, very specific about that, why that particular congressman did not vote for the bill. And so I appreciated that, because that's feedback that comes back to Bob here, and now we know where that congressman stands. Maybe in future issues, this is important to him. So we probably need to angle how we need to get him on board to this particular factor that was important to him, that he felt that he couldn't vote for the bill. So it was good. The aides were very, very good. They were very, very educated. I got to meet with a freshman congressional person, which I never thought we'd be able to. We were not able to meet with him back at home, and he's brand new. And he heard me sitting with the aide outside his office, and he came on out to see me. And that was actually invaluable to me because, you know, they, just like us, we like to talk a little bit about our family history. And he's, you know, born and bred in Kansas, and his mom actually had been a small town postmaster at some point in time in his life. And so so that's an invaluable piece of information. We know that he's going to be pro post office when we go forward about most issues. You know, if it doesn't conflict with something else, that's important to him. So so it's just invaluable. Like, I couldn't be more excited with how my meetings went this week up on the Hill.
So you would encourage people to come back next year to LTS?
I would totally encourage everybody to come back to LTS. There's so much opportunity. Even if, like, we have an issue, it's obvious we can adapt. If we can't meet with them in person and we have to meet via Zoom, we can do that. The value of the education you get from your peers, from our organizational leadership, and going to Congress and meeting with them, it's invaluable. You can't get it anywhere else.
Kelly, I want to thank you for joining us today on Naps Chat. This was Kelly McCartney, Area Vice President at the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Once again, thanks for joining me, Kelly.
Thanks, Bob. Everybody have a great day.
I want to also thank our Naps Chat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy Naps Chat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share Naps Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm going.